And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where all the sports talk is royal, real, and straight from the boroughs. Today's Tuesday, September 16th. This is episode 193. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. As usual, please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a look. Join our pages. We want everybody joining our pages, getting our updates. If you want to talk to us, send us a question. We'll get back to you. We're in September. So it's baseball and football. We got Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, NFL week two, college football week three, baseball in the stretch run right now. We got everybody around the 12 games left, we'll call it. Playoffs right around the corner coming up here. We'll start it with some baseball. So before today's games, Yankees are at 83-67, five games back of Toronto, up 4.5 in the wild card. The Mets, 77-73, 12.5 games back of Philly. They are up a game and a half on Arizona, two games on San Francisco, two games on Cincinnati before today. Also looks like Mets and Yankees are both, looks like they're going to win. They're both in the seventh. They're in the seventh with a lead at the moment. So we'll see how that turns out. Kev, Mets 2-8 last 10 before today. Let's talk about the Mets to start.
2-8 with the 8-game losing streak in there.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, was Alonso's home run on Sunday just a huge sigh of relief to break the 8-game losing streak. I mean, when we last recorded last Thursday, they were in the middle of getting swept by the Phillies. Then they bring the Texas Rangers in Friday night. I think the moment was too big for Tom. He looked lost in the first inning. Lasted two-thirds.
Kev,
four hits, six runs, three walks.
He looked like a rookie. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
He was one pitch away multiple times. He just couldn't get that pitch.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The problem is it's September baseball. That's the only problem with the whole thing.
This is the kid who's had two AAA starts.
Yeah.
Two major league starts.
Yeah.
I mean, they rushed him up. And you know, the first one of the three of them to show a little crack. Saturday, broke pitch and gem, you know, six innings, shutout. And it was Rogers and Diaz blowing it late in the eighth and ninth inning. They lose. Sunday, McClain, another just terrific start, six more shutout innings. And this time it was Raley and Garrett to blow it in the seventh. Like I said, luckily Pete had the walk off. And tonight they did the piggyback, Holmes, Mania. And I think, you know, when you put five up in the first and then tack on some solo home runs, it makes it a little easier to play around with this piggyback stuff. But it's worked tonight. Let's see what they do in the future. The amazing thing is 8-game losing streak, 2-8 in the last 10, and somehow they're still in the loss column. It was two games on all three of them. We've got the Giants and Diamondbacks playing each other right now, so they're going to – somebody's going to win and keep pace with the Mets. So the Mets have to really win two out of three against the Padres here and then go from there.
Are you starting to get concerned that McClain has wasted all these good starts? I mean, you're going to need him in the next 2 weeks. It's like, come on, man.
Well, you know, God, I don't want to make this comparison. I always feel like, you know, Jacob DeGrom starts, you know, where DeGrom goes six shutout and get a no decision. Yeah. That's what McClain's done the last couple. I mean, the last two starts, he's given up one run in his 0-1.
I know. I trust me. I'm on it. Darren, what do you think?
Well, Kev, do you have the McClain stat? Is that something you were going to go over at all? Is that something you were going to review?
No.
Okay, because actually, he's the best pitcher of all time. since 1930 anyway, through six starts, only pitcher ever with a sub-120 ERA and 40 strikeouts in his first six starts.
Wow.
I'm just saying. I mean, you can say what you want. McLean is – he worries you because of the spin rate where you feel like the shoulder's going to fall off at some point. But until it does, enjoy. Yes. As far as Tong goes, are you comfortable with him getting another start?
He needs another start, yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying, because you could sit there and just say, Senga looked good in his first start. We give him one more and bring him back and kind of say, you know, Tong, we brought you up too soon. Or do you want him to kind of still be someone that you are considering here in this pennant race? It's two games.
I still want to get another start.
Okay.
It won't be DeGrom's return at Citi Field and all the other hoopla around that. And I just want to see him if he can bounce back.
Gino, your thoughts on it? Agree?
Yeah, I kind of agree.
All right. And Sproat looks really good. Really hard to argue. The fact that he wasn't up sooner is really what should be the most upsetting thing for a Met fan at this point. I still would have went the other way with Minaya and Holmes. I understand what they
did. I would have too.
Because Holmes has pitched out of the pen, but it worked tonight. But I don't know if it was the 5-run lead or if it was just nice and smooth. Either way, it's nice to see them get off. Even though, you know, I'm rooting for the Padres, but it's nice to see the Mets get off and win this game. So they're in really good shape to win it. They're,
I mean, if you want to think
with a 6-run lead.
If you want to think a little bit more game-wise, taking away who's starting per se, you start the right-hander so that the other team loads up on the lefties a little bit more. Then you bring the lefty to see if they switch out, you know, platoon, wherever they need to, bring in the right-handed side. And then when you've got Diaz to finish, I know it shouldn't matter if it's righty or lefty, but you still feel better Diaz against righties.
Yeah,
I mean, like you said, if you want to get into, like, third level here,
yeah, it doesn't even. I mean,
but that might be
Diaz against up any three batters, and you feel really. I know we lost the game to the Rangers, but that's going to happen from time to time. And I hate closers in tie games never really do well. It's just the way it works. For some strange reason, they just don't. Closers are great with a 1-run lead. You put them in a tie. Great closers, I should say. You put them in a tie game, and they fall apart. Offense tonight showed you exactly what you expected this offense to do with the first five batters. It was really nice to see for them.
I think the big thing here is with his walk-off Sunday and another one tonight, you've got 2 weeks. Is this with Pete Alonso start of a 2-week hot streak? Because you know him, you know, he gets on these 10 to 14 day hot streaks.
Well, hope he goes to 3 weeks. This way you can beat the Dodgers in the playoffs.
True. Well let's get the first two and try to get there.
Hey, listen, you can still catch the Padres. You never know.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
That's gonna be tough, but it's not impossible.
Let's face it. It looks like, you know, we line up what Padres, Cubs, and Mets, Dodgers.
That's what looks like right now. If everything ended today, we'd also see Yankees, Red Sox.
Wow. Talk about your Yankees.
Well, okay. So they go through the gauntlet, right? They play those 12 games. They go 7-5. Would have loved to see the sweep against the Red Sox. Give up 6 in the first. Warren battled. The Yankees tried to make it a game. It wasn't brutal, but it was nice to see the Yankees confusing the Red Sox. Caballero's speed on the base pass had them completely thrown off, and they were running all over the place on Friday night. It's nice to see. Rodon's been good, even though he lost last night, but he pitched well last night. Fried seems to be getting his mojo back. Schlitler's still been real solid. Heel had a no-hitter for 6 innings last time out. A lot of things you like from this team. You know, the one thing that you want to see a little bit more of is the pen, some sort of consistency. Weaver got lit up last night. The only guy that you're counting on right now is Bednar. I mean, I like Cruz. He misses bats, but if he's not ahead in the count, you know, that split finger means absolutely nothing. And, you know, it's just that there's nobody to count on. You need your starters almost to go 7 on this team, which only Fried's going to do on a regular basis. Heel can, Rodon can, Schlitler can. But you're asking an awful lot of these guys. And then it becomes, do you let Schlitler go? Do you make Warren your 4-star and you put Schlitler in the pen and ask him to get 6 outs for you, which he's not done because he's got the best arm of the bunch for relief. Gee, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, listen, I kind of agree with you. Offensively, Caballero gives him something. He just does.
He's
I was going to make that point. You made that point, but I was going to make that same point, which is, I don't know what it is. And again, maybe it's just a different player out there instead of Volpe playing shortstop. Maybe it's not, Darren, maybe it's just that. Honestly, sometimes that's all it takes is one guy to just put some energy in the, but he plays and he kills people on the base paths. If he gets on base, he's killing people on the base paths.
No, and it's fun to watch. And they don't become a solo home run team. They don't become station to station. You have a guy that tries to create runs, which is fun to watch on a Yankee team where we haven't seen that a lot over the years. So it's kind of a big step up. Offensively, Judge is hot too. And when Judge is playing well, this team is completely different, you know, and that's really what it comes down to.
Did you realize that Jazz is one home run away from being 30-30?
Yeah, he's having
– Which again, I didn't – listen, I knew he was close. I didn't know he was one home run shy now from being 30-30. I was like, wow.
Yeah, the Jazz Chisholm, guys, in his first 162 games as a Yankee, has 40 homers and 48 stolen bases.
Wow.
Only three players in their first 162 games with a franchise have gone 40-40. Jazz being one. He's the third one, obviously. The other two, one is easy, one's a little bit more of a challenge. So the easy one is playing currently and dominating the National League.
Ohtani.
Yes, okay. So now the other guy's a little bit more interesting because it's a player we know, but it's not even the team you would think of. Alfonso Soriano with the Nats.
Oh wow.
Oh my God. Okay.
Right. So Chisholm's in kind of rarefied air with this a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, most guys don't, you know, start, you know, usually start with a team you don't have that kind of run when you're a rookie if you're playing with the team for a long time. But in the free agent era, that's going to change a lot. But he's one of three guys to do that. So it's an interesting stat. You know, listen, I you like where the Yankees are because if they're hitting, everything's good. It's just, you know, when Judge is on, this lineup is totally different. And when Judge is slumping, you can get him out, the lineup looks like it's garbage. Right now, Stanton's a little bit off. They need to get him going again. They need playoff Stanton, get ready to go, which is always fun. But, you know, there's really not to like about the way they played the gauntlet. And then they come out last night and get shut out by Woods Richardson and the worst bullpen in baseball. So you don't know what to expect with this team, but they came back tonight and at least answered, which I was happy about.
And I think from the Yankee perspective, you know, when you're looking at the playoffs, we're assuming they're not going to catch Toronto, right?
Four out? I don't think so.
So I don't see it. At least Boone has the ability now to line up Freed for game one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mets don't have that luxury, I don't think.
No, I wouldn't
line up game one. Who pitches for you, Kev? Is it the guy with six starts?
I mean, I think, right now.
I'm asking, right? It's got
to
be.
Has to be. It has to be in the claim game one. And from there, game two is who knows? In an ideal world, I don't have an answer.
I don't know if you can at this moment in time start lining up starters when you got three teams breathing down your neck.
Exactly.
To actually make the wild card.
You have to get into the playoffs and figure out who's going to pitch for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you might need McClain Sunday to clinch a spot. You never know. I mean, talk about pressure right now.
I mean, Arizona came out of nowhere with this hot streak. And now put themselves in this race.
Yeah.
And now there's three teams instead of two teams breathing down your neck. And 2 weeks ago, there was one team breathing down your neck, just the Reds.
Yeah.
And now there's three teams within two games, which is just crazy.
Thank you, Sacramento, or whatever you call them, A's, for sweeping the Reds. Reds not showing up in that series was very interesting.
Oh, beautiful.
You didn't surprise that the Dodgers take two out of three from the Giants, but you're very surprised that the Reds don't scratch anything against the A's.
Yep.
And that was, you know, that was something that I didn't see coming. Glad to see it, just didn't see it coming. You know, and the Mariners are hot as hell in the American League, by the way, guys.
Yeah, so shot
right by him. Yeah, he two with one tonight or two tonight. I'm not even sure, but I know he passed Mantle.
He passed Mantle, both by a switch hitter.
Yeah, 50. He's 55. Wow. So Toronto is leading the East. Detroit up 6.5 games on the Central, and Seattle at this moment has a half game lead on Houston, 3.5 on Texas. In the National League, Philly's leading the way. Milwaukee in the Central, 5 up on the Cubs, and then the Dodgers have a 2-game lead on San Diego. So that's kind of where we stand. A couple of stats I saw. Judge, obviously, is at before today was at 325. I think he's at 326 now. Before today, Raleigh was at 54-115. Schwarber is at 53-128, which is just insane. And the other stat that jumped out at me was Garrett Crochet has 240 strikeouts at this moment.
Kid's really
that is good. Just wow.
That kid is really good, and he gets a lot. He gets a lot of K's, man.
And hey, Derek Skubal only has 13 wins. He's 13-5. Okay. But he's got in 183 innings, he has 224 Ks, an ERA of 2.26, and a WHIP under one of 0.86. I mean, his numbers are just crazy.
No, it's ridiculous. And when you look at numbers, you know, I know Raleigh's having a monster year. Judge's numbers are actually better, except for Homer and Ribby.
Yeah, that's it.
It's going to be interesting. The MVP race will be interesting in that one. Not that it matters now. Right now it's about the playoffs, and both of those guys don't care about the MVP race. They care about winning a World Series, but that's going to be interesting.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Before we move on, any other baseball points? Darren, any hidden gems, Darren?
Well, a hidden gem for baseball, okay?
Okay.
So we talked about this game a little bit. Friday night was Jacob DeGrom, you know, return to Citi Field. The Rangers scored 8 runs for DeGrom against the Mets. It was the most run support Jacob DeGrom had ever received at Citi Field in 110 starts.
That's a surprise. That's a
hidden gem for you right there. That's my other hidden gem for baseball is actually a little bit more of a fictional one. Bob Uecker in the movie, what's it called, Major League, had no script. He ad-libbed that entire sequence of stuff. Wow. There was no script. Just basically, they said, the producer said, don't worry about the script. Just wing it. Ball 4, ball 8, ball 12. I don't know how they laid off pitches that close. Try the corner and missed. It's all Bob Uecker making it up as it goes along. My other gem will be for football, so we'll get to that later.
All right, I got something for you guys. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, game 7 of the World Series. You're up 1. Ricky Henderson is at second, and Tony Gwynn lines a single to right field. You have your choice of any right fielder to nab him at home plate. Who are you calling on to nab him at home plate?
Dave Parker. So accurate. We think alike, but he was accurate.
The only other guy would be Dawson.
You know, okay. I mean,
Dawson would be too. Barfield would be up there. Winfield would be up there.
You know who was that a monster on? Well, besides Bo, by the way, who let's not forget about how great Bo is. Corey Snyder had a cannon when he played for the Indians. Okay, what's the answer?
So, no, there is no answer. It's fictional. But there is one guy you guys didn't name. Roberto Clemente.
And
that would be the only one I would add to that list that you guys just named. Because when I thought about it, the first thing I thought of was Parker. That was the guy. I'm like, that's it. It's Parker.
That All-Star game had such a bearing on all of us. But we saw him do it a lot. But that's the one that always stands out, by the way. But yes, we saw him do a lot.
Okay. So any other baseball? We'll move on.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Yep. College football. So week 2 in the books, week 3 coming up. Darren?
Yeah, college football. We had a really, really good week of games, actually, to be honest with you. There were a few that stood out. The one that stood out most was Georgia 44, Tennessee 41, okay? This game, the Vols play for the field goal late. They gave them a back and forth. Tennessee led 21-7. Georgia came back, led 27-21. Tennessee took the lead back. Georgia took the lead back. They went back and forth. Tennessee drives down. They get themselves in position for Gilbert to kick a 38-yard field goal. False start. Moving back 5 yards. Pushes the field goal wide. Tennessee then in overtime gets stopped, kicked the field goal. Georgia comes down really quickly, scores a touchdown, wins the game. Tennessee still gets the cover. Darren's happy. But at the same point in time, Georgia really cemented themselves in what was really a good game. The kid Aguilar is really a player. He showed it against Georgia. You don't usually put up 41 against a Kirby Smart defense. So I thought that that was really interesting. Kev, any thoughts on it? I mean, it was just a monster game.
No, just back and forth. You know, part of you says, boy, you play for the field goal there, or you want to try to win it there?
I would have wanted to try to get a little closer because it's a college kicker, but at 38, you really can't argue it. The false start sets him back to 43, and you don't know if
that's what
at 38. If at 38 he doesn't push it, but just the way it kind of went out. The other big game of the weekend was Texas A&M squeaking by Notre Dame in South Bend, 41-40. Game decided on a drop snap on an extra point, which you feel awful this weekend. And I'm sitting there, you know, I got my 6.5 and you know, with A&M, and he drops it, so I'm down 6. I'm like, I'm in good shape. They just can't return any kind of turn. You know, all I want to do is win my bets at this point. But Texas A&M, this game I thought was actually even better because Texas A&M defense is a little bit shoddy, and Notre Dame took advantage of it a bit. And, I thought they threw the ball well. I thought they ran the ball fine, all that stuff. But Notre Dame's defense is really good. And Marcel Reed, though his stats – completion percentage-wise would not impress you at 17 for 37, threw for 360 on these guys and made big play after big play. And he was a guy I kind of touted in our preview show. I like Marcel Reed, and he played great. The two teams combined went 9 for 9 in the red zone. I mean, there was a lot of things going on offensively in this game, but for it to come down to the drop snap on an extra point, you feel awful for the kid that did it, the backup quarterback Buckner, who had started here at Notre Dame. Just an epic game, Kev.
I think it was that. And it's also, you know, A&M returned the ensuing kickoff for the touchdown, but was called back for the hold.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, to go from the high of thinking you just retook the lead, or at least tied it, pending the extra point, so all of a sudden, here they come back with the hold, and you have to sort of restart, recalibrate, and still to be able to drive down the field and get that touchdown, 13 plays, 74 yards to get the touchdown from Reed to Berkecher. I think that's pretty close to how you pronounce it.
It was right there.
And like I said, completion percentage was that great, but boy, big play after big play by Reed.
It was a fun game to watch. You're not used to seeing Notre Dame in shootouts. You're used to seeing Notre Dame in like real physical games. This game was real physical, and yet the offenses both played well also. It was like you got a little bit of everything in this game. That's why I thought it was the game of the weekend. But and since Carr, we're talking – I'm sorry, Kev. What?
I was going to say, Carr throwing for 293, Love and Price combining for over 150 and 3 touchdowns. If you told me that and that Notre Dame was going to put up 40, that's a Notre Dame win by at least 2 touchdowns, right?
And not in this game because A&M, even though Elko's a defensive coach, that offense is humming right now. And A&M's going to be – there's a lot of things to talk about with the SEC, and it's early. And we're going to see teams start to split off at some point, but right now it doesn't look like it. The state of South Carolina, Kevin, the state of South Carolina had a really tough weekend. I'll touch on Clemson real quick. They lose on a 55-yard field goal at the gun to Georgia Tech, money line win. But besides the money line win for Georgia Tech – Georgia Tech was the better team in this game. Klubnik hit a 73-yard touchdown pass, much like they did against LSU earlier in the season, and even against Troy. It seemed like the offense sputtered, despite Klubnik being a guy that was really highly touted, Kev.
Yeah. I mean, Haynes King outplayed him.
Haynes King's good.
Haynes King is one of my favorite guys to watch.
Listen, I picked him to make the playoff for a reason, Kev. I picked him to get in because I like this kid.
200 passing, 100 rushing. He does it all. He's tough. He's gritty. You hit him, he gets up slowly, feels like half the time, but drags himself back to the huddle and ready to go again. And, you know, Georgia Tech feeds off him. And, you know, to set up, you know, when Burr hits a 55-yarder at the gun, wow, what a kick that was.
Longest kick in history of the school for a game winner. And then, obviously, South Carolina loses twice. They turned the ball over 4 times, did not play well in this game, but they also lost Sellers, which is the bigger part, and Pavia picking up what he left off last year. And I'm just going to say this before you get into South Carolina. If Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Mississippi State are the bottom of this conference, I mean, Arkansas could have won at Ole Miss. Mississippi State beat Arizona State, who was ranked 12th, and Vandy went into South Carolina, who was a top 12 team, number 11, I think it was last week, and knocked them off, Kev.
Yeah, you know, first 2 weeks, the offense struggled. Even when Sellers was in there, I thought the offense was struggling a little bit. The line was not giving Sellers much. And then when he took the, you know, a little bit of the helmet to helmet, the thing that pissed me off most, I think, watching that whole thing was he gets hit up high. There's no flag. Sellers is down for 5 minutes. They finally get him off the field. Luke Doty comes in as a backup. He hits Harbor on the nice pass down the middle. Here comes the stoppage of play. Now we're going to look at the replay. You have 5 fucking minutes to look at it. What the hell is up with this replay system?
There's no reason for it. It used to be that after another play, you couldn't go back. Now they're doing it and going back, and it happened about 3 times this weekend that I saw. It could have happened 30.
I mean, you have 5 minutes while Sellers was on the ground. You're not taking a look at the replay then? There's a reason he's down on the ground. There's a reason he's got holding his head.
And they need him back because he's the team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this weekend. He's in concussion protocol. They're at Missouri, and I don't know if they're going to go with Doty. If Sellers can't go, or is going to go with one of the young kids, you know, like Air Borland would be their next choice, I think.
Well, I mean, I could see Doty getting the start, and I could see him splitting reps early with the kid, and then we'll see what happens because Doty was not overly impressive in his playing time last week, I should say.
Well, he's another kid that his first year was 2020.
I know he's not a kid.
he's a 10-year veteran at South Carolina, I think.
Yeah, and, no, some of these guys are older than the guys that have been starting in the. Starting in the NFL for 2 years. That's the funny part.
But like you said, it was a double loss there. Not the game and Sellers was the biggest loss, I think.
Absolutely. Miami established himself this week, guys, as top five. And before the season started, you know, win over USF means nothing. But USF goes, beats Boise State. Then they go into Florida and win. And we'll get to Florida in a second. And Miami just blew the doors off them. And what we thought might be the game of the weekend, and we thought it was going to be close for 2.5, maybe 3 quarters. I think Geno thought backdoor cover. I think that I like Miami to pull away. I thought it was going to be close and pull away. It was never close. The weather, we thought maybe we'd give South, when they had the weather break, maybe give South Florida an opportunity. But Miami just kind of stepped on their necks and pulled away, guys. Not much of a game there.
Not much to say about that one.
Now, and the other game that just to touch on real quick was LSU stayed strong, but Lagway threw 5 picks in this game. LSU won by 10 at home against Florida, and they forced 5 interceptions. So now you're saying to yourself, is Clemson really not as good as we thought? A couple things you're saying to yourself. You say, is Clemson not as good as we thought, so therefore LSU's a little overhyped? Is Florida State much better than we thought, and therefore Alabama underhyped? I mean, there's a lot of things for us to bring together here right now because there's some really crazy things going on here. And LSU should have won that game with 5 turnovers like that. They should have won this game by about 20. And yet Florida kind of hit them in the mouth and outplayed them. Just inconsistency. And you figured Billy Napier is looking at the end of the line here, guys.
Yeah. Napier's in big, big trouble. And LSU couldn't run the ball again.
Yeah.
Not run the ball well at all this year.
They've struggled, which is not an LSU thing. Yep. LSU, likes to run the ball, and they're not doing it right now. Nussmeier's been okay. He hasn't been great yet, but he's been okay. We'll see how he does in the big games as we go forward. A couple other college notes just to go through, and then we'll be out of here with that. UCLA fires Deshaun Foster after 3 games, 0-3. Got blown out at home by New Mexico. So now this is an interesting thing because after a coach gets fired, a player has 30 days to go into the portal. Does Nico go back into the portal after all that drama from last year? Because he's 0-3 right now. Does Nico go back into the portal? Because that's the biggest thing about this firing. UCLA has been horrible. Deshaun Foster was obviously in over his head as his first head coaching job. But that's, that's kind of really where we sit with this. So we'll see what happens with that. Ole Miss outlasting Arkansas. The Razorbacks are for real, by the way. That game was in the Grove. That was in Oxford. 41-35. Green looks like he's elevated in his second year. Alabama bomb Wisconsin is fickle done. I mean, really, Wisconsin is now a joke. They're an also-ran in the Big Ten. Got to imagine Fickle be the next guy fired. I would have to think. That's what I would expect.
It's either Fickle or Napier.
Yeah, it's one or the other, right? Both of these guys are in trouble. So that's last week's recap. Any other thing you want to touch on, Kev, before we move on?
Well, I forget if it was last week or the week before, Pry got fired from Virginia Tech also.
Oh, that's right. You're 100%
right. And, some of the speculation would be, Whose dad used to coach there and had great success at Vatek?
I know. You don't want to lose Beamer, but who goes from the SEC to the ACC? Unless they, South Carolina can offer a lot of money.
They can offer a lot more money.
Vatek is not as big a school.
Vatek gives them probably a little, if he gets anything going at Vatek, it's a little easier path to the college football playoff than the SEC.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and he went there and his dad coached there. So, you know, that's a draw there.
We'll find out. Three big games this weekend, guys, okay? And only one of them you would have thought big 3 years ago, okay? So number 22, Auburn at Oklahoma would be that game, okay? Yep. It's 22 Auburn, 11 Oklahoma in Norman. Suman is favored by 6.5. That game is a big one. That one is going to be played about at 3:30 in the afternoon, right? The other one is Illinois, number 9, at number 19, Indiana. Primetime in Bloomington, G. We never thought we'd see this on NBC.
Big game for March Madness, right?
It used to be. Henson against Bobby Knight. And now it's on the gridiron, which you haven't seen in a long time. And the big one to me this week, guys, this one's going to determine the Big 12, in my opinion. These are the two best teams early on. I don't even think it's that close. You know, the scene, Gino, is Rice-Eccles Stadium. Salt Lake City, Utah, high noon Eastern time. We're playing 10 a.m. out there, which is ridiculous. Game should decide the regular season. Utah versus Texas Tech, 17-16. Utah is favored by 3 last I saw.
3.5.
What, 3.5?
3.5.
Okay, went up. So, Gino, who do you like in this one?
So, here's the interesting fact that I was looking up about this game.
Okay.
Utah has played three games so far, all against unranked opponents. Okay. They have outscored those opponents 137-25. Okay. And when you look at that, you go, wow, Utah's just on a roll. They're killing everybody. Texas Tech has played three games against unranked opponents. They have outscored their opponents 174-35. So both of these teams are putting up huge points. I think this winds up being a very close game. I like the home team, so I'm going to take Utah here, but I think this is really close. I'm going to take the -3.5. I think this could come down to the wire. I think 2 minutes left, this could go either way. So I'm not crazy about this, but I'm going to take Utah at home. Kev?
I think these two teams, you separate by a razor's edge here. They're both evenly matched. Yes, it's the games in Utah, but I think this is a tie game, 2 minutes left. Winning team goes down and kicks a field goal, so it doesn't matter who kicks it. Because of the hook, I'll take Texas Tech +3.5.
Okay.
I'm going with the altitude, boys. I'm saying Texas Tech has to go up into the mountains, play in Utah. Utah wins it by 10+. I think Utah wins this game somewhat comfortably. I think it's a solid first half, but I think Utah pulls away. I'll say Utah 38. Texas Tech 24. So I'm going to say Utah by 14. They win it comfortably. We'll see what happens in this one. G, why don't you give me another pick? Well, we can rotate.
Sure. My second pick this week is going to be Tennessee at home. -39.5 against UAB. Aguilar has 9 touchdowns so far. One of my bold takes, I think he throws 4 more this week. Okay.
All right.
I think when all said and done, they're not happy about losing to Georgia last week. They come out and they're going to put a ton of points up on the board. Give me Tennessee -39.5. I usually don't go big. This is a big one. Kev?
When you go big, but when you really like a team, you're willing to go big. Oregon a couple weeks ago against Arkansas State.
Yep. Yeah. They won by 66 of that one. So Gino was okay on that one.
That was Oregon -28.5 2 weeks ago, by the way.
I'm going to go with one of the other games Darren mentioned before, one of the other big games here. Oklahoma and Auburn. Oklahoma's home. Mateer is playing so well so far to start the season. I think Oklahoma's better. They're at home. I think they win this game by double digits. They're only laying 6.5, so I'll take Oklahoma laying the 6.5.
I like that pick. Kev, Darren?
For me, it's a team I like a lot more than a lot of people. I'm taking Nebraska +2.5 at home against Michigan. In fact, I think they win the game outright. I think they win by a touchdown. I like what Nebraska looks like right now. Michigan had a good week last week. Don't get me wrong. I just think Nebraska is the better football team. I'm going to take Nebraska to win this one.
That's on my list, Aaron.
Sorry,
I was going with them next.
All right.
The final one.
My third game, I think they can continue their unbeaten streak. I think Miami, it's -7.5 versus Florida. I think Miami continues this. Give me Miami -7.5. Kev?
I'm glad I wrote five games down because I like Miami over Florida as well.
You can pick the same one.
No, I've got the other big game too. Illinois at Indiana. Again, I feel like this is another toss-up game. So since it's 4.5, I'll take the points. Give me Illinois +4.5 at Indiana.
Well, touche, because you got me back on my third one. Okay, so now I am forced to do this. I'm going to take Notre Dame laying the 24.5 against Purdue. I think they come out a little angry. I think they run it up on the Boilers. I think Purdue will try to give them a fight for a little bit, but I think Notre Dame's just too much for them. I think they'll run it down their throat. So my third game will be Notre Dame-Purdue. And that's
okay.
Crack us up. One last give me, though, when you guys are done.
Just an update. So games that were not the game of the week that we're all picking, so far through 3 weeks, we were 11 for 18. We were at 61%. So let's keep this going here, guys. Darren, what do you got? A little
gift for you guys in the Iron Skillet this week, G, and I know you love these nicknames. TCU and SMU in Fort Worth. Bet the over of the 64.5. Iron Skillet, by the way, the name started, I think it was 1946. These two teams were playing, and an SMU fan brought a skillet with him to cook frog legs because they were playing the TCU Horned Frogs. Then they decided to play for the skillet. So that's okay. Kind of where the series has gone. These two teams, they're within like 40 minutes of each other, Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's a huge rivalry. But the over usually comes out supreme in this matchup. Two high-scoring quarterbacks with Jennings and Hoover. Play the over in this one, I promise you.
So far, you're one for one before this one on the over-under things you've given us. So
every now and again.
I'm going to put that down.
Yep.
All right. Any other college before we move on, guys?
Nope. That's it for me, pal.
All right. So we're going to move over to the NFL. Not a good week in New York. Jets lose to Buffalo 30-10. We're going to get there in a minute. Dallas, they beat the Giants 40-37. Both New York teams are 0-2. 0-2 teams. The Jets, the Giants, Miami, Cleveland, Tennessee, Kansas City, Chicago, Carolina, New Orleans, and Houston. Okay, 2-0 teams. On the other side, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Green Bay, San Francisco, Arizona, the Chargers, and Tampa. It's just unbelievable. These teams are all 2-0 or 0-2. It used to be after 2 weeks, we had all these 1-1 teams, except for like two or three teams. It's really out there. Let's start with the Jets. 30-10 is the loss. Justin Fields lost in this game with the concussion. Kev, let's start it.
Jets have the same record as the Chiefs. Told me that after 2 weeks, I'd be thrilled. I mean, look, there's not much to say. This was just non-competitive throughout. Everything positive you can say about Fields last week, just throw that all out for this week. He was 3 for 11, 27 yards. Rushed for 49 yards, had the fumble. Got into concussion protocol. They got the late touchdown drive from Tyrod Taylor. Couldn't generate any offense. They were outgained 403-154, and 54 of those came on the last garbage touchdown drive. Utter, complete domination. Bills were just far superior. Bills win that game, you know, 99 times out of 100, and Jets have a long way to go. We knew going in this was there was a chance for weeks like this, and this was one of those weeks. And, you know, not much more to say about this game. I mean, they were just dominated.
I mean, they helped, okay? They could not handle the Buffalo run blitz, okay? They couldn't handle it at all. They were coming in off corners, and the Jets had no clue what to do with it. They never forced a turnover, this team. They actually got a fumble for a second, and, of course, it goes right to Trent Brown. They commit stupid penalties. Clemens, idiot.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be on the team anymore. He's committed 9 personal fouls and has 7.5 sacks. I'm not nine, for, nine, penalties, 9 penalties and 7.5 sacks, not 9 But the roughing the pass extended the first drive. It would have been 3-0. Changed a little bit of the complexion. Down 20-0, Aaron Glenn, you know, play for the touchdown. Don't play for the freaking field goal to go 23. Have the winner mentality, not the loser mentality. That's just stupid. Nothing to like here. No culture change yet. I told you guys last week, yeah, we like it week one. If they come out and get blown out in week two and week three, we got a problem. Because then it's the same old crap that we've been watching for years. Right now, it looks like the same old crap we've been watching for years. They had to come up. You played Buffalo off for an emotional win. They should have been defeated going in. And Josh Allen did not have a big game. He didn't need to. Now you're playing Tampa Bay off a short week. If you come up flat in both of these games, I don't know what to say. Then there's nothing has changed with this team. And that's where I sit with the Jets.
Quick and easy this week.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go across.
Let's go to the Giants first.
To the other Giant team.
Yep.
Russell Wilson filled the stat sheet against the Cowboys, throwing for 450 yards. However, the day ended with a crucial interception in overtime that sealed the loss. Aubrey hit a 46-yard field goal in overtime after hitting a 64-yard field goal in regulation. Dallas beats the Giants 40-37. Darren?
Okay, so a couple things. James Hudson's an idiot. Commits four penalties in one drive, a record. But also then starts going having tirades on the sideline. They couldn't control the guy. You had two personal fouls and two false starts in the same drive. You cost your team points. Yes, you get benched. You suck. Yes. Stop. Stop acting like an idiot. All right? Question for you guys is, did Russ find the fountain of youth, or is Dallas's pass defense this bad?
Dallas's defense is this bad.
Because against Philadelphia,
they're horrible.
The receivers did not do anything against the Eagle receivers didn't do anything against Dallas. The Giant receivers, on the other hand, huge game for Neighbors, huge day for Wandale, and obviously Russ was monstrous in this game.
You know, here's where they miss Micah Parsons, because Dallas plays a lot of man type concepts in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've got Micah Parsons there to block, you know you've got to get these passes off quick. Without Parsons out there, now you've got the chance to stand in the pocket just a little bit more. Those guys get open, and they've got their huge plays down the field. And Russ can still deliver the deep ball. But, you know, I think it was combination. You know, yes, for one game he found the fountain of youth. You know, it'll happen from time to time. But Dallas's pass defense is just bad.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of points scored throughout the NFL this past week, right? I mean, Detroit put up 52, so that game they had 73. The Giants and Dallas had 77 points scored in this game. I mean, you're not going to go many more games this year where you're going to see 77 points scored by both teams.
And they only had 33 after three.
That's the other thing, Kev, right? Where the fourth quarter was just an explosion back to back to back to back, like everybody's just flinging the ball downfield. But, yeah, I mean, the defense was horrible for both teams on this.
Yeah, it was you know, what once it got to 2016, touchdown, 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 and then the Aubrey's 64-yarder, which he hit. Aubrey's from 64, yeah, we're good. You know, after Neighbors does the night-night, you know what, you're not a good team. You can't do that stuff because the Giants, just like the Jets, will find a way to lose, and they found the way to lose. And then in overtime, you know, I don't know where Russ was throwing that pass.
He just threw it up.
He threw it up, and it was just
threw it up, Kev.
Terrible.
So are we convinced Aubrey's automatic between inside 70 right now? Because it seems like he is.
Yeah.
I think he's automatic 60 and 60 down. So yeah, I mean, I think it's getting really close to him being automatic from past 60. That's for sure.
Remember when we were kids, and if a guy could hit a 45-yarder, it was a long field goal. Anyway,
yeah.
Now these guys are hitting 64 like it's nothing.
But for the Giants, 21 penalties called, 14 of them accepted for 160 yards. I mean, 21 flags?
Yeah.
That's even worse than the Jets?
And the thing about it is Shane Bowen might be the worst defensive coordinator I've ever seen. I mean, the way he played defense on that final drive in regulation to allow them to get that tying field goal, even the announcers were all over him. He's playing this soft zone as if Aubrey doesn't have leg. And yeah. You can't do that. No blitz, no nothing. Don't send somebody. Dak owns the Giants. You got to put pressure on them if you're the Giants. You got a chance to steal this win, and you're sitting there in a deep in a deep zone and giving them 15 and 20 yard passes like it's nothing. It was awful. Shane Bowen shouldn't be a defensive coordinator in this league if that's what he's going to do. I'm sorry. That was disappointing, guys. That was highly disappointing.
Yeah.
And now 11, 31, and 1 since Dable's 7-2 start. Yeah. Like you said, Darren, it was an insult to Mangini to compare him.
I insulted Mangini all those years. I didn't even know it.
Yeah. A lot of injuries throughout the NFL. We'll get to some games, but let me go through the injury list real quick. So Burrow, out about 3 months. J.J. McCarthy, 2 to 4 weeks. Austin Eckler, done for the season. Fields, obviously, cut in concussion protocol. Jaden Daniels had an MRI on his knee. Looks like he may be out a couple of weeks. Jones on Minnesota. He goes to the IR with a knee. And then the weird one of the week is Sean McVay, by the way.
Yes.
You saw it? Okay, you all saw it. He tore his plantar fascia running down the sideline, apparently. So he said he's going to be out there, but we'll see what he's actually doing. So let's go around the NFL. I'll start. I got, Green Bay beat Washington on Thursday night. I didn't expect them to be a very good team, and I think Green Bay is a very good team. So the fact that they beat them doesn't get me crazy. But the fact that Eckler's now done for the year and Jaden going to be out probably a couple of weeks after having an MRI on the knee is concerning for me. I only thought this team at best was going to be 10-7 this year, so I'm not going to get crazy because I still think they could do 10-7. But definitely, to me now, the Brian Robinson trade hurts a little bit more now that Eckler, I know, is done for the year. So where do you guys want to go? Give me a game.
Kev, pick one, and then we'll just rotate. Kev, we'll go one.
Bengals Jaguars, like I said, Burrow got hurt. Jake Browning came in, the full Jake Browning effect. 2 touchdown passes, a 1 yard touchdown run, also 3 picks. I thought was more interesting in that game. Kind of watch the chemistry between Lawrence and Cohen on the sideline. Lawrence threw one pass late; it was high off the receiver's hands, and Cohen is sitting there on the sideline, like patting his chest, like gotta throw it down here, gotta throw it. And Lawrence gives him that dismissive wave, like shut up, I know what I'm doing. Pass got away from me. So it's going to be interesting if anything happens from that, if they don't like each other, if it's too early to tell. But just one of those things to keep an eye on.
For me, Seahawks, biggest gift touchdown I've ever seen. A rookie, Caleb Johnson, doesn't play the ball. Lets it bounce over his head. Lets it go into the end zone. Seattle falls on. This is a real close game at the time. Seattle falls on. Makes it a 2-score game. And, Pittsburgh just could not come back from it. You got to love a guy that's returning kicks and doesn't know the rules of the sport. I mean, come on. Didn't learn it at Iowa under Kirk Ferentz. Didn't learn it here in the NFL so far under Mike Tomlin. Or is he just not paying attention? Kid's a little too talented to let that happen. That stood out to me as unacceptable. G?
Colts get the upset against Denver 29-28 after a horrible penalty call.
It's a penalty.
DeAndre Tillman called for leverage on a 60-yard field goal. The result is they moved the ball 15 yards forward. Spencer Strader hits the 45-yarder. Daniel Jones threw for 300 yards in this one. Colts start out 2-0. That's where I go first. I hate that call, Darren.
Well, I know it's a shit call. It's a shit call, but it's the horrible. Call. I mean, he knows the rule. They all know the rule on that line. You cannot touch the snapper. And that's what he did. But by the way.
And it's a 60-yard field goal.
It's not Aubrey.
Leverage. He's not going to hit it anyway.
From 30, I can see.
Kevin, it's not Aubrey.
Aubrey from 60 is automatic, yes. But
also a quick trivia yards. Question what are you for doing? You. Quick trivia question for you guys. Okay, only one quarterback in Super Bowl era has led a scoring drive on every single offensive possession in a regular season game.
His Daniel name. Jones last week, 7. They went 7-for-7.
And they have not punted once in 2 games.
I know. Yeah.
Freaking scary, but yes.
That's one of my hidden gems.
Oh, Kev, where do you want? I screwed you. I'm sorry, Kevin.
That's Kev, okay. where do you want to go next, Kev?
First team in Super Bowl era to have 0 punts in first 2 games.
That's crazy.
Patriots Dolphins.
Okay.
You know, not so much for the game. I mean, you know, Dolphins screwed up late, got called for the penalty, got pushed back a couple of times and screwed up. Mike McDaniel after the game. I mean, did you hear him talking? They asked him about the specifically about that fourth down play.
He sounded drunk.
Well, that's kind of where the frustration lies for me. It wasn't deciding that cost us or a late play call. I got the play call in. We need to do a better job of supervising the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups, whatever the hell that means. To win games, you have to win the game and not lose the game, honestly. Really? To win the game, you have to win the game and not lose the game. Thank
He's kind of drunk.
And the way he talks about it, too. I mean, Mike, this guy's a head coach.
He looks like an idiot to me anyway. So quick one for me on the Browns, guys. So the Cleveland Browns held Derrick Henry to 23 yards. Lamar Jackson had two rushes for 13 yards. Browns ran 19 more plays in this game. They outgained them by 80 yards. They converted four more third downs than Baltimore, and they lost by 24.
Unbelievable.
I don't even know what else to say.
Couple of points I'll just throw. Chiefs 0-2 start, obviously, losing to Aaron Rodgers.
You got to catch that pass. I mean, that turned the entire game around.
I know.
Catch that pass, but, you know, I know a lot of the stuff is a tush push, and the Eagles were 6-for-6 converting on that.
Awesome on it.
Freaking tush push.
But they were offside on a couple of those.
Chiefs failed on a couple of third and fourth and ones. To me, I know they don't like doing it, but don't you want once or twice a year at least have Holmes line up under center and quarterback sneak? I know they never run it because he got hurt. He got hurt once 6 years ago in a quarterback sneak. That means you take it out of the playbook?
I agree with you, dude.
I mean, you've got to have – I mean, he's running up in shotgun and three running backs in the backfield. Once in a while, have him come up, bang. I'm one. Ready? Go. Bang. Sneak it once in a while.
I agree with you. And the other thing is the Chiefs have looked awful in their first two games.
They have. They
lost by 9 points in the two games. I mean, they've looked really, really bad.
They
look really good. I didn't think the Eagles did, but the Eagles have that advantage on those short yardage. And be honest with you, there are helmets that get – the center lines up in the neutral zone, let alone the guards. And one was blatant where the guy got off early, but they don't call it, and they can't stop him. And even if they lined up regular, I don't think they'd stop it. I don't think it has that much to do with the play. That's why it's not a big deal. But you have to call that to send them back 5 yards. You got to call it when they do it because it's almost impossible. And, guys, I'd have to say that the Lions' demise, maybe it's not there yet. They looked okay against the Bears, guys.
Put up 52. 5 touchdowns from Goff, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And then we had 2 Monday Night Nighters. The first one was a good game. You know, defensive battle throughout, and I think it was a matter of just 2 defenses playing hard, playing well. Texans scored late, but then Baker, 2-minute drive. I tell you what, Baker's a tough quarterback.
4th-and-10 run, that scramble was huge.
Yeah, and that was playing on a gimpy ankle, which got hurt earlier in the game, too.
Yeah, I don't love Baker's antics. I really don't, but it's hard not to like the way the results he's getting.
Yeah.
Listen, those 2 quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of Josh Allen, they're not at Josh Allen's level, don't get me wrong. But both Darnold and Baker find ways to win, G.
Definitely. Listen, and the way they're playing right now, absolutely, man.
And the other game was the Chargers win easy. But, you know, you've got Tom Brady who's doing Sunday NFL games on TV. He's minority owner of the Raiders. He's in their coach's box with headset sign talking to – there's no conflict of interest?
Of course there is. It's a joke.
I mean, all because it's Tom Brady?
Exactly. I mean,
come on. Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on that. That's a joke.
All right. You mentioned Detroit, Darren. So – I gave you 3 Kings ransom bets last week. Detroit was one of them. We started with 300. We hit a $1,300 bet. So that's where we're going to start. I got 3 more Kings ransom bets for you this week. First one's going to be a 3-teamer. Buffalo minus 12.5, a Cook touchdown, an Allen touchdown, plus 290. Second one is going to be, Darren, you're going to like this. Seattle minus the 7.5, and a Cooper Kupp touchdown.
Okay.
Plus 440. We haven't seen Cooper Kupp score yet. He's been involved. They I like the way Seattle's playing right now. I think you were on them from the start. That's the second bet. And the third bet, I'm going to Philly. Philly minus 3.5, Hurts touchdown, Barkley touchdown, plus 345. Those are the three Kings ransom bets for this week. I'm trying to mix it up with different teams every week, so we'll see how this goes. But after those three bets, we're still at plus 700 on plus 400 on the year, so we'll see if we can keep this going. Darren?
I'm going to make one quick golf point, then we're going to go to Kev for his buried treasures. So John Daly this week. Okay, we're at the Minnehaha Country Club in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. First round of the PGA Tour Championship, Sanford Invitational. Shoots a 19 on the par 5 12th. So much for the double par max. A 19 from a professional. You can't make it up. And, of course, it's Daly, which makes it more exciting. But a 19 made me feel better about every round of golf I've ever played in my life, boys.
We have never put a 19 on our scorecard.
If we were honest, we should have, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Kev, I know you have a couple of little buried treasure things you wanted to touch on.
Well, one of the ones a little bit around golf, you know, maybe a little buried treasure too thrown in there. The Pro Court Championship was this weekend. It is a pro tournament. Usually doesn't get much of a field. It's out in the Napa Valley. But the Ryder Cup decided whoever could play went out there to play just to keep – no, this way you're not rusty for the Ryder Cup in 2 weeks. And if I had to tell you, shockingly, Scottie Scheffler won. Pulls off both Griffins. So the top four was four of the top ten were Scheffler, Griffin, Spawn, and Young. Well, on the Ryder Cup team, so that's good. Gets him going. It's his sixth win this year. Second straight year with at least six wins. Can you guess who the other three golfers are to have at least six wins two straight years?
Well, I'm going to go with Nicholas and Woods.
And?
Who's the other guy? It wasn't player. Are we going like really old? We're going like...
No.
Not really old.
Nicholas is era. Maybe a little older.
Nicholas is era. So was it Gary Player?
Nope. Arnie.
Arnie Palmer? Arnie. Okay, Palmer. Okay.
Palmer, Woods, Nicholas, and now Scheffler.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Around Cincy, you know, with Burrow getting hurt, since he's been drafted, Pro Football Focus has their pass protection rankings every year. Cincinnati Bengals ranking in pass protection, 29th, 30th, 30th, 27th, 32nd, and 28th.
Consistency is a big part of the game, Ken.
Wouldn't you think after all the money they're spending on keeping him that they would get him a couple of linemen? Jesus.
Nah, why would you do that? Dicker the kicker. He's got 100 field goal attempts now, which qualifies him for the all-time leader in field goal percentage.
Okay.
94 out of 100. 94%. Wow. All-time leader.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
And what is the one for this weekend coming up? Minnesota with McCarthy out. Carson Wentz is starting. You take a look, last 6 years, he started games for six different teams. Philly, Indy, Washington, Rams, Kansas City, and now Minnesota. First player ever who will start a quarterback for six different teams in six consecutive years.
Wow.
Thank you, Mr. Carson.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Wow.
And I have one last little hidden gem for you guys on the NFL. So in the history of the NFL, there have been seven game-tying or winning fourth-quarter field goals as time has expired that have been 60 yards or longer. Four of them have been against the Giants.
Wow.
One against the Jets. We saw that last week. But four of them have been against the Giants. Five against the New York teams.
Wow. All right, we're going right to bold predictions. It's called the Royal Flush on this show. Darren and I made a couple last week. I gave you one when we did college football. I think Aguilar throws four touchdowns this week for Tennessee. My second one is Arizona Cardinals are going to make the playoffs. I got this weird feeling about seeing them for 2 weeks now. Arizona's making the playoffs. I'm not sure who's out yet. I'm going to hope, by the way, it's not my Washington team, but I have a feeling Arizona's making the playoffs. Darren, you have any?
I got two. Utah, the running Utes go undefeated in regular season play. they win this week and they don't lose another game in the conference, they all fly right through. The Jets will win 8 games. 0-2, the Jets will win at least 8 games this season. Those are my two bolds.
All right.
Kev?
This week, Dolphins will get crushed 38-10 by the Bills. McDaniel will be fired after the game.
Okay. That's bold.
And by the way, in the same vein as you last week, Darren, I'm sorry for stealing your thunder from last week, but this feels like a classic trap game off the – I mean, believe it or not, it's a rivalry, Ole Miss and Arkansas. Next week is Ole Miss versus LSU. This week they've got Tulane. Tulane's going to have a lead in the second half. Ole Miss
beat them up pretty good, by the way.
Huh?
Tulane beat Duke last week, and they beat them up pretty good in that game.
Yeah. Like I said, this just feels like a trap game in between. They've played 2 SEC games already. They've got LSU next week. Just feels trappish to me. They'll pull it out late because they're at home. But I think Tulane really gives them a game, and I think they even have the lead in the third quarter.
Love it. Love it.
All right. So it's time for our NFL picks for week number 3. Darren is at 5-1. Gino's at 4-2. Kev at 2-4. We are at 61%. Let's keep this streak going. Darren, you have the T-box.
I don't like a lot of games this week, but
I'm glad you said that because neither do I.
I'm going to take the Chargers laying 2.5 against the Broncos at home. I know it's a short week for the Chargers. I don't think they were pressed too much by the Raiders in this game. I think Denver's coming off an emotional loss, and then they have another road game this week. I think that the Chargers, two coaches I hate, Harbaugh against Peyton, two guys that, you know, you hope both coaches get hurt. But beside that, I'm going to take the Chargers to win by a field goal. Not much. I think Dicker's the difference in this one. He finds a way to win it for him based on Kev's stats. I'll take the Chargers to win it.
Kev?
Where are you going?
So since I mentioned him in my bold prediction, I'll take the Bills minus 11.5 against the Dolphins.
It's actually up to 12.5, but I would still take them. So
still under 2 touchdowns, I'll take them.
I agree. I'm going Green Bay minus 8 this week at Cleveland. I think Green Bay's on a roll right here. I don't think they're the best team in the North, by the way. I still think that's Detroit, but I think Green Bay has enough to get past Cleveland right now. By the way, Jaden Reed out for the year also for Green Bay. That was a big one.
I started him in fantasy. It was a good start.
Yeah. Darren?
I'm taking the Jets plus 7 against the Bucs. Simple fact of the matter is Tampa Bay off the short week off an emotional victory, much like happened the week before by the Bills. Either Aaron Glenn kicks these guys into gear. The Jets have the best winning percentage of any team they face is against the Bucs. They're 10-3 lifetime. I'm going to take them to win it just because the jerseys, they find a way. I think they win the game outright. I'm betting the money line this week. Jets.
Okay. Kev?
Boy, this is hard this week. I know they covered last week. I'm going to take the Falcons laying the 6.5 at the Panthers. I think because it's under a touchdown, they'll take the Falcons.
I like it. I think Kansas City gets off the snide. I think Kansas City minus the 5.5 at the Giants. By the way, my prediction last week, Chiefs start 1-5. They are 0-2 going into today, and I told you that with the Giants would be their win, and then they lose 3 more. So I'm going to take Kansas City minus the 5.5. Darren?
Taking the Lions plus 4.5 at Baltimore on Monday night. I think it's just too many points to give Detroit. I think that this game is high scoring. I don't think either defense is going to do great, but I think Detroit has too much firepower, and I think their offensive line will be able to stop the pass rush and do an all right job. I'm going to take the Lions. I think they might win it, but I'm not going to bet on money line. I probably will bet them, but I'm not going to say it here. But I do like the Lions.
I love the Lions plus the points here, by the way. At worst, this is a close game. At worst, Darren.
I got you.
Kev, where are you going for your third?
I like the Lions. I like the Chiefs. I like the Packers. I was tossing up between two teams favored by 3.5. Let's go Colts laying the 3.5 at the Titans. Titans have not looked good yet. And Colts are hot. They haven't been stopped on offense yet. We'll take the Colts minus the 3.5.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is where they get their first loss. So I agree with you, Kev. My last one, I'm taking Seattle minus the 7.5. I think Darren was onto something with picking the Seahawks. They got something going. Donald, the quarterback, they just got something rolling right now. Give me Seattle minus the 7.5 against New Orleans. I think New Orleans has nothing in the tank right now. They're trying everything they can right now, but they got no. Spencer Rattler is probably not the answer at quarterback from what I've seen so far.
He wasn't awful last week.
He was, Darren. I don't think the team itself is that good. So to say that Rattler wasn't good, you know, is not going out on a limb here. You know,
all right. Whole team's dead.
It is. Okay. Any random other thoughts, Darren?
I think we have to touch on welcome to the majors, Mr. Hobbs. We have the passing of the great Robert Redford, one of the best baseball movies of all time, The Natural. In the book, apparently he strikes out, but I never read the book. So when the movie hits that majestic home run, and it's a story about the New York Knights and a little bit about cheating and a little bit about trying to rip off Pops and the manager and partial owner of the team, and that he would lose the entire squad. But Redford was great as an aging guy that no one had ever heard of, with his Wonder Boy bat and his majestic home run. And I just think, you know, I thought Redford did a wonderful job in the movie, and I think it's just a great baseball movie, guys. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on it. A great career all around, not just baseball, but
Redford,
a legend.
Yeah, I mean, just
legendary. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, he looked the part. You know, he was probably late 30s or 40 years old when he made the movie, and he was supposed to be a 40-year-old guy, but you know, it looked like you looked at the baseball scenes, it looked like he knew how to play. That was a good thing. That was the other thing about the movie too. He didn't look out of place out there. And you know, just a wonderful, wonderful baseball movie.
Yeah, you got The Natural. Obviously, when you talk Redford, you got Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Got The Sting.
You got The Sting. You got The Great Gatsby. You got All the President's Men. I mean, his list of movies goes on. The Natural, you know, the baseball stuff in that movie is just amazing. Seeing him hit that ball and the ball like exploding as it's going over the fence is just iconic. I don't know what else to tell you. No. But yeah, Mr. Redford, gone.
Absolutely. 89 years old and a Hollywood treasure.
Yep.
Any other points before we wrap up, gentlemen?
Nope.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino. Talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where, for some stupid reason, one of us picked the Jets to win a game outright this week when they're 0-2 and got embarrassed 30-10. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We post a lot on social. Please like it. Please share it. Please try to like it more. Please kind of share it more. Do a lot with what you can with us. Try to make us more popular. We're trying to grow. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.